Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the line, State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ortz, talking about that decision to reopen schools. Rob, thanks for joining us. You know, you talked about this and hit on it yesterday while speaking in Buffalo, how you don't envy the position of people who have to make these decisions because it is tough and things do change. But do you think it's possible to find that balance between respecting how quickly things can change and also giving people enough time to have a heads up on the school decision?
I do. And thank you for having me on this morning. I absolutely do. Look, that's what we've been doing or been trying to do this whole pandemic. Right, the whole, after several months, whether it's phases and business reopenings, or any number of decisions as it relates to gatherings or whatever, we have to continually, and we've had to continually strike a balance between recognizing that things could change, and numbers could go up or numbers could go down, but at the same time. I think when you talk about, schools reopening, school districts, superintendents, teachers, parents, students, they need to know what's going to be happening with their lives in September, because if they're not open, there's ripple effects with that. And if they are open, we know there's going to be, it's not going to look like it necessarily did back in February. And so we need to give our school districts, our superintendents, our elected school boards, parents and teachers enough time to know what school reopening looks like in September, and we need to allow them to make certain decisions that's in the best interest of their students and their school districts.
Rob, how are you expecting the decision to be made? On a regional basis, like we just went through, with Western New York, the Finger Lakes region, that type of thing? And do you have an issue with that because, cities, suburban, rural districts, they're all a little bit different. It might not be a one plan that can fit them all.
Well, and that is a challenge, and that certainly could be a model, or we have that blueprint when it comes to the businesses. Even that's been imperfect. I think most businesses would or employers would tell you. So whatever is decided to some level will be imperfect, no doubt. But I think that there has to be some disparity given or some recognition that the school districts in New York City, given what. What has happened down there and the difference between their caseload and, let's say, the caseload in Niagara, Erie, or Orleans counties, for that matter, I think has to be taken into account. But also, when you talk about distance learning as an alternative, I brought up yesterday, there's a good part of this state, and certainly in my district and here in Western New York, where a lot of students do not have access to reliable broadband internet access. And so it's not just as simple as saying we're just going to continue distance learning for these students because they don't have the access to the same technology and resources that other school districts and other communities have. So that's a perfect example where I think we have school superintendents who on average make a lot of money. We have elected school boards. We should allow them some level of autonomy, obviously with certain safety guidelines, but some level of autonomy in deciding what is going to happen with their school districts come September.
Are you at all concerned about the way this has been talked about in the past week? Because it seems like, you know, we were listening to health experts, we were listening to parents, we had, you know, surveys come out, parents, teachers, and students, what they preferred. And then all of a sudden this week, it's the president, it's the governor getting involved, and the discussion turns political. Are you worried that this is going to turn into a political topic and political decision?
Sure. I mean, look, we live in a very polarized nation, a polarized time when, you know, even something like a pandemic becomes political. You know, I mean, even and that's certainly regrettable and disappointing. And to some degree, I think sometimes it's overblown. You know, somebody on one side says something or does something and somebody on the other side responds. And then all of a sudden, everyone has to sort of like, you know, pick a side, when it could just be two individuals or a handful of individuals having the disagreement. So, but I think that this decision, obviously political leaders are going to weigh in, and in some cases political leaders have decisions to make regarding it, but this should be a decision that it takes a lot from the school districts themselves. We rely on these school districts and these you know, school boards and superintendents and administrations to make really big decisions every day. Now, obviously, we have to give them the health guidelines, and we need to tell them what's expected of them as far as providing PPE, you know, social distancing, whatever it might be. But you need to get them that information. From every school superintendent and a lot of teachers and parents I talk to, they want their schools to be reopened. They just want to make sure they're doing it safely.
When is the state legislature going to take some of the power back that the governor has been kind of sucking up here the last several months?
Well, the real answer is it should have happened about a month ago when we introduced, the Senate Republicans introduced a resolution, as did the Assembly Republicans, to restore the legislature's power and rescind the governor's emergency power. You know, for those out there that, regardless of your political stripe, the state has been run by one person for the past 4 or 5 months. There is no need at this point that the legislature can't be a full partner, and we can't have three branches of government during this health crisis. You know, Congress is in session, the U.S. Senate's in session, many other state legislatures are in session. There is no reason, to me, why the state legislature is not a full partner in these decisions. For some reason, the Senate Democrats just either didn't have the political will or whatever. They did not want to restore the legislature's standing and rescind the governor's power. And the governor, it's not like he's powerless. You know, a fully empowered legislature is the way our government was set up, three branches of government, so we could provide oversight and checks and balances. And that has not been happening. So when we're back in session the week of July 20th, that will be a topic of discussion for sure, even if we have to force it.
You mentioned it yesterday. You mentioned it just a couple minutes ago, too, the disparity in internet access and kind of how that has related to the remote learning and remote everything that's been going on, regardless of whether or not students return to school. Because of how highlighted that issue has been over the past few months, do you feel it's time for the state to get more involved than they have been in the past in expanding internet access, whether that's forcing providers to expand access or working on a program to do something that's publicly run?
I think it has to, I absolutely think the state is going to have to, and even maybe the federal government is going to have to look at this issue and you know, play a part in driving more build out of broadband and high speed internet to communities that simply don't have it, because we know it's expensive. Several years ago, Governor Cuomo rolled out a broadband for all program. There was $500 million in public dollars that were supposedly to be matched by $500 million in private dollars. And there was build out. The problem is it has been very slow. And in many cases, the build-out was already to areas that had internet access, meaning the term underserved was used, and there was a little bit of discrepancy as to what underserved was. My focus is, and has been, on the rural communities, mostly upstate, but you know, even as you move towards the capital region, there's rural areas that simply have no internet. There's no high-speed internet. They're relying on satellite. They have to go to libraries. They have to go to a coffee shop to do their children's homework or apply for a job. So I do think this has highlighted that if this remote learning, remote working is here to stay, it's another example of how rural communities and upstate communities can get left behind. And this is going to be a topic certainly for our conference, but I think for all of New York State.
Thanks for the time this morning. That is Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.